Welcome to Radio Free School.
This week, Radio Free School has a visit with Satish Kumar, who gave a talk on Gandhi in the Age of Climate Change. He's the editor of Resurgence magazine.
Once my mentor and friend E.F. Schumacher was standing outside London, and he saw a lorry full of biscuits coming from Manchester, coming to London. And a few minutes later, Schumacher saw another lorry going from London, full of biscuits made in London, going to Manchester. Now he said, "I'm an economist. I've been to Oxford. I'm a mathematician. I must be able to find a logic in understanding why biscuits made in London should be sent to Manchester and biscuits made in Manchester should be sent to London. All these drivers driving these lorries 8 hours on the motorways, and we have to build motorways and highways and freeways for these biscuits to travel from London to Manchester and Manchester to London." And he thought and thought and thought. This great Oxford economist could not make sense. And then he came to conclusion that maybe I'm not a nutritionist. And by taking biscuits from London to Manchester and Manchester to London must increase the nutritious value of biscuits. So we have built an economy of free market and globalization. Simply put, free market and globalization is the cause of global warming. If we want to reduce global warming, we want to mitigate climate change, it is not going to happen by technological fixes. It is going to happen when we are prepared to have a new world view and a new way of life, what Mahatma Gandhi advocated. The new world view has to be based in our relationship with the natural world. A relationship of respect and reverence. A reverential ecology, or a spiritual ecology, or a non-violent ecology, where nature is not there for our use. There is an intrinsic value of nature, or in nature. Trees are there, standing. They are useful to us because they give us fruit, they give us shade, they give us wood, they give us oxygen, and therefore we value them. But there's a more value to the trees and to the forest and to the lakes and to the mountains and to the animals and birds and all life than their usefulness to humans. So recognizing the intrinsic value of nature, that is the first big shift, paradigm shift we have to make. This idea of human superiority and all the rest of the species and nature for the benefit and use of humans, that has to change. We have to have an equity with nature, an understanding, a relationship with nature, where trees have as much right. Your lake here, the wonderful Ontario Lake, has as much right to remain clean, unpolluted water as your home. You have right to have your home unpolluted. You would not like me to come and throw my rubbish bin into the courtyard or living room of your house. If I do not have right to put my rubbish in your living room, what right I or you have to put our rubbish into the living room of the lake or living room of the forest? So throwing waste in nature and using nature for our benefit, that fundamental attitude change, a paradigm shift has to be there if we really wish to mitigate the effects of climate change. And the second, we have to develop a positive view of living in harmony with the natural world. Living in harmony in such a way that we live happily, but not wastefully. We live elegantly and simply, but not extravagantly. this extravagant, wasteful lifestyle which we have built, as if there is no tomorrow. Gandhi came to believe that a simple life is a freer life. When we have this kind of materialistic society and materialistic culture, this creates more bondage and less freedom. We think that we are a free society just because we can write an article in New York Times or your Globe and Mail, or just because you can publish some books, you are free. Freedom is much more than just saying something. And therefore, if you truly want to be free, then you have to be simple. It's blessed to be free, and it's blessing to be simple, and it's a blessing to be free. That is a Gandhian idea. So, living a simple, elegant lifestyle, less and local. That was Gandhi's idea of Swadeshi. Gandhi coined some three beautiful ideas. The first was Sarvodaya. Sarvodaya is different from socialism and capitalism. The two dominant philosophies in our political system and the political thinking is socialism and capitalism. Socialism is concerned with the benefit of society, human society, purely anthropocentric political philosophy. And capitalism, even less. It's not even concerned about society, it's concerned about the capital. As long as your capital is safe, you are happy. So capitalism and socialism both do not take nature into account. So Mahatma Gandhi coined a new word, and that word was Sarvodaya. Well-being of all. All, literally all. Even in socialism, you do not have the idea of all human beings. The socialist idea is greatest good of the greatest number. Whereas Sarvodaya says, not greatest good of the greatest number, but greatest good of all numbers. And that greatest good should begin with the weakest of the weak, poorest of the poor. When you start to bring development, economic development, where do you start? You start with the poorest of the poor and the weakest of the weak. So Gandhi started to work with the untouchables. And how do you start to work with the untouchables? Not just by preaching at them and telling them what to do and how to live, but identifying with them. Gandhi said, how it is that I go to toilet and then somebody else, an untouchable, comes and cleans it. So Gandhi started to clean the toilets. Gandhi took a broom in his hand and went out from his ashram and cleaned the streets. That way he incorporated the principle of Sarvodaya, the well-being and upliftment of all. And that included not only humans, but other than human species. If there is no well-being of the animals, the way our farming works, the factory farming, that is not non-violent. And you cannot have Sarvodaya if the animals are treated with cruelty. And so, well-being of all includes the welfare of animals and forests. If you go and clear-cut rainforests in Amazon to grow more corn or soya, so that you can make biofuels, or you can have hamburgers or something mass produced, that is violence to the forest. Forests have rights, as I said before. We have human rights. Gandhian thinking will lead you to understand rights of nature. And so Sarvodaya brings that holistic philosophy into our politics and sociology, so that we give right to all living beings and well-being of all living beings, humans and other than humans. The second principle Mahatma Gandhi pronounced and propagated was Swaraj. Hindi word Swaraj. Swaraj means self-organized governance. Governance not coming from top to bottom, someone telling you how you live, but Swaraj where communities, villages, towns, neighborhoods, and individuals and families, they bring governance which is self-organized. This is how nature works. This is where we need to learn from nature, the wisdom of nature. How the forests are organizing? Is there any military force there? Do they have any courts? How lions and tigers and snakes and eagles and birds, how they organize their governance? Do they have any president or prime minister or parliament? When 300 million species on the earth can run their lives beautifully, and there is no hunger in nature, no species are starving, going to bed without food. Only human species have systems of government in which millions of people are forced to go to bed without food. How it is that we consider ourselves superior species? The tigers, the deer, the snakes, the birds, the eagle, they are all fed and watered and sheltered without any help of supermarkets or Monsanto or Cargill or genetic engineering of seeds. And we humans cannot organize ourselves in such a way that every human being has access to food and water and shelter. And it is because the governance is not coming from bottom up. It's not self-organized. It's not Swaraj. Self-organized. So Gaia, the earth system, is a self-organized system. And Gandhi learned from Gaia, from earth, from nature, to put that system into human society. That the governance must rise from inside out. Development should come from inside out, rather than imposing from outside in. Now, where does, take again from nature, learning from nature, where does a tree come from? Where does a tree come from? A seed. You have an acorn, a seed of acorn. And you put that acorn into the soil. And there's an interrelationship, and there's a symbiotic relationship, an interdependence. The moment that acorn goes into the soil, the sun works at it and gives energy, the water works at it and gives nutrition, the soil works at it, gives nutrition, and from inside that seed a plant is emerging. And that plant is emerging and becoming mature and becoming a tree. And out of that little seed of acorn, the whole mighty oak tree has emerged. Now that is inside out. That was Gandhian idea of education. Gandhi said, instead of thinking that children are the empty vessels, empty buckets, empty baskets, and you, teacher, go there and say, you are ignorant, empty, not knowing anything, I'm going to tell you maths and science and technology and sociology and all the other sciences and all the other subjects. So you treat the child like an empty vessel. Gandhian education would be that you don't do anything until you have understood the child. You have observed the child. You have to look at the aptitude and the tendencies and the genius and the imagination and the creativity of that child. Is this child interested in singing or gardening? Or what kind of activity child is interested in? And you try to help and promote that particular interest of the child. That is called basic education. Gandhian idea of basic education is to observe the child, to help like a gardener helps the acorn or the seed, or an apple seed, or a tomato seed, or a potato seed, or whatever seed it is, a gardener does not tell an oak to be an ash. A gardener does not tell an apple to be a pear. A gardener says, apple, if you are an apple seed, be an apple. And I will help you. I'll put some water and water you. I will give some steak so that you are not blown away in the wind. So the work of a teacher or a parent is to give support and help to be who the child is. That is the idea of Gandhian basic education of Swadeshi. From inside out, self-organized, self-disciplined, self-managed, self-controlled. And in that way, you come to self-realization. Self-realization means you become who you are, your true potential. And the third idea of Gandhi, Sarvodaya and Swaraj, and the third is Swadeshi, the local home economy, as Gary mentioned in his introduction. Home economy, where your economics, maximum economics is local. No transportation, as I said before. Local. If there is a trade, Gandhi was not an extremist. In no way he was extremist. He would say, if you want to do some trade, it should be in goods which are not available locally. And that should be icing on the cake. Small amount. So not too much transportation required. So maximum economic activity is at the local grassroots level. In your villages, in your towns, in your neighborhoods, in your within 50 miles, 100 miles, when you can travel, walk, go on horses, or have a small public transportation, or bus, or train, or something. But this huge, big lorries traveling from north, south, to south, east, to west, from California to east of the eastern part of America, or Vancouver to Ottawa, or somewhere, long distance is traveling of goods, Gandhi said, that's not Swadeshi. That's not a proper, sustainable, durable economy. Durable economy is one which is always renewable and local and available, and you have control over it. So that is the third idea of Gandhi, which I think these three ideas of Sarvodaya, Swaraj and Swadeshi, the upliftment and well-being of all, without any exception, no one is left out, completely inclusive development is Sarvodaya. And Swaraj is self-organizing from inside out, from self-managed system. You learn from nature and develop your governance on the principles of Swaraj. And Swadeshi, your economy. So you can see on a philosophical level, political level, and economic level, he has a whole new vision, a whole new paradigm in which sustainability is inbuilt. And Gandhi was talking at the time when nobody was talking about environment, and nobody was worried about global warming. But now we can see the relevance of Gandhian way of thinking in our age of global warming. Now, we need to think about our way of life, which is based in three words. It should be beautiful, it should be useful, and it should be durable. I call it the Bud principle. Our Western civilization is really very much deprived of beauty. If you go back to the native people considered beauty as essential. There is a Navajo song which the English, late English poet laureate Ted Hughes translated into English. I walk in beauty before me, I walk in beauty behind me, I walk in beauty above me. I walk in beauty below me. I walk in beauty all around me. The whole world is beautiful. The whole world is beautiful. The whole world is beautiful. So the place of beauty is essential to nourish our souls, to feed our souls. In our materialistic, violent civilization, and our civilization is a violent civilization, that we have to recognize. And violence is inbuilt institutional violence. Violence, as I said, poverty, waste, all Gandhian idea is they are all violent. So we have built this violent society, violent culture. And if you want to create a culture of non-violence, beauty has to be in the center. So if we are escaping from the consumerist, materialistic, global warming, climate changing culture and civilization of industrial world, where do we go? Where do we take refuge? In the Buddhist language, you say, I take refuge in the Buddha, I take refuge in the Sangha, I take refuge in the Dharma. Buddham saranam gacchami, Dhammam saranam gacchami, Sangham saranam gacchami. For the age of ecology, from a Gandhian perspective, I would say we take refuge in the arts and crafts and a beautiful way of living. And that will be feeding our soul. There will be greater satisfaction and contentment and joy in our lives. Ananda. In Sanskrit we call it ananda, joy. At the moment, we are industrial system, so busy, 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 that the industrial system, violent system, has taken out the beauty and joy from our lives. That is the reason, global warming or no global warming, climate change or no climate change, resources depletion or no resources depletion, this kind of industrial way of life is not, from Gandhian perspective, which he spoke nearly 80 years ago or nearly 100 years ago. His first book, Hind Swaraj, came out in 1909. So nearly we are reaching 100 years ago when he talked about what is a satisfactory, good way of living. So Gandhian idea is not driven from fear. The modern environmentalism is very much driven by fear. Fear of doom and gloom and disaster. Global warming will bring an end to the civilization. Therefore, we have to do something. If you act out of fear, your action will be panic driven. And then you will very easily fall from frying pan to fire. You will go from fossil fuel to nuclear fuel. You will go from fossil fuel to biofuel. And biofuel, when people are starving, we want to make fuel from corn and soya to feed our cars. That's an unjust social order we will create. So panic-driven solutions will be there if we are driven by fear. So Gandhian non-violence talks about action, environmentalism, economy, our way of life, not driven from fear, but from love of nature, love of life, love of the earth, love of people. If you have love in your heart for trees and animals and birds and lakes and rivers and people and communities and children, then your action will be right action. And so I would say, friends, that in this age of climate change and global warming, love-driven action is essential. Without that, we will come into a sorry state. And after beauty, I would say, whatever, when we take refuge in the arts, whatever we make, we must be made something which is satisfactory to our soul. Useful, but satisfactory, which brings satisfaction to our imaginative, creative qualities. What the machine system has created is taken away the creativity and imagination out of our hands. And you are working in the office, computer is controlling everything. You are working in a factory or working in a supermarket, Walmart, or something similar in Canada or something similar in the United Kingdom. You are there, a cog in the machine. Human beings are turned into a cog in the machine. Human beings are creative beings, imaginative beings. And if our imagination and creativity is gone, what is good of aeroplanes and motorways and freeways and cars and computers and iPods and all the other gadgets that we have? So let us go back to that creativity and imagination and arts and crafts. And this is why Gandhi said, spinning the spinning wheel, weaving your cloth, tapestry, making your pot, beautiful things you make, your garden, your home, is a spiritual practice. Everyday living is a spiritual practice if you do it with imagination and creativity and a sense of beauty and a sense of the sacred. Sense of the sacred. Life is sacred. Nature is sacred. That sense of the sacred will give us food for the soul. So, friends, I would say, even though my own country, India, is forgetting Gandhi, and we are like a tsunami of consumerism and tsunami of materialism, which is sweeping the entire world. And in countries like India and China and Brazil and South Africa, we could take a different route, but we are forgetting Gandhi. But maybe there will be another revolution, and Gandhi will go back from Canada to India. And Gandhi will go back from Europe and America and Western countries, where you have seen what this kind of consumerist culture brings to the society and how it kills the creativity and imagination and beauty. And so perhaps you will set another example, and perhaps our country, my country like India and China and other countries, can learn the wisdom of Gandhi. Thank you very much.